been pastoring churches for the past 45 years. The last 20 years, he was pastor at Riegelwood Baptist Church and really did a good work there. And he retired there last year, but the Lord wasn't through with him yet, so we've now called him as interim director of missions for Bladen Baptist Association. He has some big shoes to fill there, but he's doing a good job for us there. If you don't know Brother Charles, you need to get to know him before the day's over. But he's going to come and lead us in our message this morning, Brother Charles. Jackie's going to do our special music here this morning. When she's through, you come and lead us, and we close as the Lord directs.
good morning. It's good to see you here today. I'm so glad you came. You can't imagine how tough it would be to plan to go somewhere to preach and then nobody show up. Kind of reminds me of what Brother Dwight Cooper, the director of missions a number of years ago, such a wonderful man, good friend of mine, gone on to be with the Lord now, and I remember him I remember a lot of things he told me. I was just a young preacher when he was here. But he told me one day, he said, you know, when I graduated from seminary, I wondered why everybody didn't come to hear me preach. And he had been preaching 30 years by this time. And he said, you know, now that I've been in the ministry all these years, I wonder why anybody comes to hear me preach. He was a delightful man, and it's I think about him quite often, especially since I took on the responsibilities of director of missions, and I covet your prayers for that. I have agreed to be the interim director until the first of the year, and then they're going to see if they want me, and I'm going to see if I want them. So be praying for me with, if you will, be praying with me about this director of missions. It's a wonderful, wonderful job. Brother Bruce Cannon did a wonderful job of it and has a great reputation in this county and the surrounding counties. Just about everywhere you go, people know Bruce Cannon. And so I've stepped into some mighty, mighty big shoes. Well, you didn't come to hear me rattle on about things like this, but I want to tell you how good it is to be here with you, having served 10 years just down the road at Clarkton First back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, and then went to Richmond for 7 years and pastored Weatherford Memorial Baptist Church. And then God called me back. I had to ask God, if you ever move me again, would you move me maybe to the mountains? I'd like to go to the mountains sometime. And Lord, if you could put me in a parsonage with a creek running right behind the parsonage that's just full of trout and all kinds of stuff, then I'd like to do that. And, of course, I have heard that God laughs at our plans when we tell him what we have planned. And evidently, God had a sense of humor because he moved me to Regalwood. So I gave up any hopes of clear mountain air. Yeah. And the creek was the big muddy. And we had a wonderful time there for 20 years. God richly blessed us, and one of the hardest things that I've had to do was to retire. I had set several retirement dates, and finally the time came that Dot and I agreed, that's my wife Dot, agreed that it was time, and my health was playing some tricks on me, as it does when we get older. I had to laugh when somebody mentioned the arthritis. Boy, we know about that. So we decided to retire, and someone warned me that preachers never retire. I guess they just fade away or something like that. I don't know, but we retired, and I have been doing interim work. I have done 2 6-month interim pastorates that I thoroughly enjoyed and enriched my life greatly. And now this director of missions thing, I'm enjoying it. I love going to different churches and preaching and getting to know the folks and like it is here, renewing some old acquaintances. Some of you I haven't seen since, years ago, and it's good to see you again and good to be here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 60 through 71. John chapter 6, and we'll read those few verses there. And I want to tell you, I have understood over the years that whatever I may say, and I'm praying that what I say will be guided by the Holy Spirit of God, I do not believe that we are here by accident. I believe that I'm here by divine appointment. But I also believe that you're here by divine appointment. And I have come to understand over the years that whatever I might say or whatever might be said, whatever might be prayed, all that is important. And I believe that God guides it as we lend ourselves to Him. But I don't think that we will hear anything more important than what we hear when we open God's Word and read His words from the pages of the Bible. And in honor of the reading of God's Word, would you stand, if you can, and if you will, as I read verses 60 through the end of that chapter. And it begins with a word that has reference to everything that precedes it in that chapter. That word, therefore. And now we'll talk about what it's there for in just a minute. But it begins, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Would you bow with me as we pray? Our Father and our God, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together to worship you this morning. We know that you're the great God of all the universe, and there is none like you anywhere at any time. And you, Father, have summoned us, you have invited us, you've called us to come together to worship. And as we worship you this morning, we ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit might indeed open our understanding so that the great mysteries of your word might enrich us, might infill us, Lord, might be that encouragement that we need today to live the kind of lives that you'd have us to live. We thank you for this church and for its pastor. We pray for Brother Kinsey as he travels today, he and his wife, and ask you to bring them back safe, Lord. We thank you for them, and we pray this prayer and offer our thanksgiving in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people declared, amen. Thank you. And be seated, please. All the gospel writers record the popularity of Jesus and tell us about how that when Jesus entered the town, it seems that they turned out to follow him, and others followed him from town to town. And I can see why. Jesus Christ was quite a sensation in his day. Jesus was a great man who spoke, and when he encountered someone, things changed. For instance, when he encountered sick man, he touched him and brought healing to his life. Can you imagine the crowds, the people in that crowd who wanted to be healed of something? If we live very long, we're going to be ailing one way or another. Amen? Something's going to need fixing. Jesus fixed it when he came upon people. When he came upon a blind man, he spoke to him and touched his eyes and gave him sight. Jesus even raised the dead. When he came upon a funeral procession, he brought that dead man back to life and presented him to his mother. He was the greatest sensation that has ever stepped on planet Earth, I do believe. And the people followed him. The word traveled far and wide. When they heard Jesus was coming, they wanted to see what great thing he was going to do. But then John tells us something a little bit more. We have some insight in John's gospel that we don't have in some of the others. Jesus, when he saw the crowds following him, for instance, said some pretty hard things. And when the people heard them, they turned around and followed him no more. You know, it's not much has changed, has it, over the years. Jesus still is the greatest friend, the greatest man that has ever come to planet Earth. No one but Jesus could have done what he did. And yet there are still people, when we read the truth, when we see the truth in the Word of God, there are still people who say, I didn't bargain for this. And that's what they were saying. You know, when Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you can't have any part of me. Of course, he was speaking figuratively there. He was not going to offer his blood for them to drink and his flesh for them to eat. But they knew what he was talking about. They were very accustomed to the sacrificial system. And so they knew what he meant. And yet, when he said that, they took offense. And then Jesus said, I imagine that they had some in that crowd that day that preached prosperity and health and all of this. If you'll just tag along with us, if you'll just get on board with us, everything will be fine. You'll be healed. Everything will be rosy and you'll die happy. And then Jesus turned and looked at him and said, wait a minute now. You know that the birds of the air, they have their nest, and the foxes of the field, they have their dens. But did you know that the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head? And Jesus also warned that because of who he was, people would reject them. They would not accept them if they followed Jesus. And Jesus said things like, you've got to take up your cross and follow me daily. And it wasn't a little shiny silver cross on a chain around the neck. It was a rugged, cruel instrument of execution that they bore on their shoulders to the place of execution, as Jesus did. And when he began to say things like that, they said, I didn't bargain for this. I weren't figuring on this kind of thing. And you know, not much has changed today. Some folks, when they get into trouble, they blame God. God, why are you doing this to me? One of the great preachers of our time, his name escapes me. Isn't that embarrassing? Anyway, Brother John had a death in his family. In fact, his 12-year-old daughter had died. And he blamed God. He blamed the doctors. He was angry at everybody. He was a pastor. Even pastors struggle with this. But you know what pulled him out of that slump? He began to realize that he should be thanking God for the 12 years he had that he wouldn't have had God not given her to him. There's a lot of different ways of looking at things, but when Jesus began to explain the not so happy side, the sacrifice, the struggle, the pain that would come from following Jesus, they didn't bargain for that. They didn't sign up for that kind of thing, and so many of them followed him no more. So that's why the therefore, that's what that word there is, therefore in verse 60 of the sixth chapter of John. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. I didn't bargain for this. I didn't understand it this way. Who can understand it? Well, following Jesus demands some things of us, because there are a lot of people talking, but there's not so many people doing. In most any church, I understand, and I have seen it lived out, that there's about 20% of the congregation that will show up on moving day. I don't know how many you'll have on moving day, but there's about 20%, and I think that sometimes is a little bit optimistic, that do about 90% of the work. And we're challenged constantly to understand that following Jesus means taking off our jackets and getting our hands dirty sometimes in the work that has to be done. We need to understand that Jesus cares for us. He cares for this church. He cares for White's Creek Baptist Church and its great pastor, Brother Kinsey Bear. He's a good man. I really have enjoyed working with him. He has helped me out a lot of times when I didn't know which way to turn. And I hated to call Bruce about every little thing, but I have found that I can call Kinsey Barra, and if he doesn't know the answer, he'll find the answer, and he is really a busy guy. You all have a wonderful pastor. But God cares for you. He sent him here to pastor in this place, and he cares for you as you minister and as you struggle with the difficult things of life. But I want you to remember that all that we're talking about has to do with the flesh, mostly. Has to do with the flesh. We get tired, we get sick, we get weak, we get weary, we get discouraged. But Jesus says that the flesh doesn't profit anything. The Spirit gives life. And he's talking about here, this word Spirit is in a capital S in Spirit, and that indicates that it's more than just a Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives life. Oh, we probably need to exercise more than we do. We need to eat better than we do. I enjoy eating. I was interested in your terminology there about what to bring to the moving day. Finger foods, I guess that means fried chicken and things of that you eat with your fingers, right? I'm all for that. That sounds good to me. But when we get to talking about this, I'm reminded of what the good doctor said about the dieting and the exercise and all of that. He said, whales swim all day and they don't eat anything but fish, and look how fat they are. Well, we need to understand that God is paying attention. He sees and he knows, and he wants us to understand that this is not a game. This is serious business. Lives hang in the balance. There are those who are watching us and waiting to see how we handle the difficulties in life. Waiting to see how we worship on Sunday. Waiting to see what we do about the issues that come our way. We have an election time coming up. Did y'all know that? Had you heard that there was going to be a presidential election this fall? But did you know that many Christians will sit it out? Won't go to vote? And that's one of the greatest privileges that we have in this land. People vote in other countries. Sometimes they endanger their own lives by casting their vote. And we can do it without any kind of worry about repercussions such as that, other than seeing the one that we vote for go into office. That's about the only thing that we dread this year. Well, it's just not, doesn't seem to be much choice. However, I would encourage you to examine the platforms and vote the way you believe Jesus would have you vote, and then we'll do it the right way. We'll do it the right way. Don't think that God doesn't notice. We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And Jesus cares about that. Following Jesus is all about an act of faith. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this passage. When they were following Jesus, they were observers. Jesus was calling them to become active in the work of the gospel as they shared and spread the good news. Jesus turned to those few who were left, and here's the question that he asked. And here's what I want to ask congregations from time to time, and I do ask individuals this from time to time. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Do you also want to go away?" Now they had decided, others had decided that they hadn't bargained for that kind of thing. And when the crowd had left and Jesus was there with his few disciples, he asked them, "Do you also want to go away? Are you about ready to give up? Has it not quite lived up to your expectations?" Maybe somebody said something that kind of hurt our feelings. Well, what does it take before we say, "I didn't bargain for this. I'm not going to follow this way any longer"? Jesus still asks that question today, I believe. Will you stick it out? Will you do the right thing because the right thing is the right thing to do, no matter where you are or who you are or what the issue is? Do you also want to go away? Henry Blackaby taught us a lot about the faith dilemma. Henry Blackaby wrote the book Experiencing God. And we tried to make sure at Riegelwood that everybody that we could went through that course, Experiencing God. Maybe you have had some experience with that, but faith. Henry Blackaby calls what Jesus was talking about here a faith dilemma. Am I going to stick with it, or am I going to go away? Am I going to move forward, or am I just going to sit here? Here's how this thing works. God gets our attention, and He convicts us regarding some issue or aspect of His holy word. And then He shows us in that biblical truth what it is that He wants us to do. For instance, when He shows us a biblical truth, you know, one of those, aha, I've never seen that before, and I've read that passage a number of times. When we have that kind of a moment, you can understand that God is speaking to you. He has opened your understanding, and He wants you to realize something, and more than likely, there's going to be a dilemma of faith. What am I going to do now about what I have read? What am I going to do about now about what God has spoken to my heart? Here is the faith dilemma. Am I going to move on with God? Am I going to take that step of faith? Or am I also, like so many before me, going to go away? Because I didn't count on this. I'm not ready for that kind of sacrifice. Well, when that biblical truth comes to us, God is calling us to take a step of faith. James reminds us in the first chapter of James, verse 22, James reminds us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We've gotten really good at hearing the word. I've known people who read the Bible through again and again and again, but there's some things that they need to change because they're not doing what the word says. And we're challenged with that every time we read the Bible. Are we going to be a hearer of the word and not a doer? Or are we going to be both a hearer and a doer of the word? That's when we are following Jesus, and it comes about by a faith dilemma. What we do when we experience that faith dilemma is very important. The follow through. And sometimes we get weary, and sometimes we get discouraged, and we don't know what to do. There's a little acrostic that I use, and it comes out of the faith experience also, the faith outline, faith evangelistic outline. The acrostic, using the letters faith, F-A-I-T-H, for instance, F stands for forsaking all others, I trust Jesus. Now let me tell you, folks, There's no substitute for trusting Jesus Christ. As Sister Jackie here sang so beautifully a few moments ago, does my heart know that Jesus loves me? Does my heart understand that in me, in you, dwells the fullness of the body of the Godhead bodily, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and He wants to manifest Himself through us to the world? That's our responsibility. So forsaking all others, I trust Him. I don't dabble with the Ouija board. I don't mess with the horoscopes. I have no faith in Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Zen or voodoo or magic or witchcraft or demon worship. I believe there are powers, but God said leave those things alone. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to do what He said to do. So, forsaking all others, I trust Jesus Christ alone. A stands for aim. Take aim on Jesus and refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted. And one of the devil's best weapons, I believe, one of his sharpest tools is distraction. If he can get us distracted. And then I is for intentional. Develop a reasonable plan to follow Jesus Christ. Develop a plan in following Jesus Christ. Here's my plan. I try to be in worship every chance I get. I read my Bible daily. I pray daily. I give of my tithes and my offerings. That's my plan. And I believe that in those things, God can speak to me. If I leave any of those things out, then I am hampering my walk with Jesus Christ. Intentional. And then T, train yourself. It's not a self-help. It's not self-help programs that I'm promoting here. It's self-control. And we need that self-control. So train yourself. And H stands for help others find the joy you have and help them to follow Jesus Christ as well. There's nothing like following Jesus in all the world. And when Jesus turned to those and said that they had to taste His body and drink His blood, they understood what He meant, but it was more than they bargained for, and they decided to follow Him no more. Jesus presents us with that same dilemma today. But Jesus also brings assurance to our lives. Here's what the Bible says. You have the words of eternal life. This is what Peter answered when Jesus said, do you also want to go away? Here's a good answer. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It helps to rehearse those words every now and then when temptation comes our way. When we're struggling to determine what it is that God wants us to do, or if God has shown us something to do that's harder than we imagined it was going to be. Lord, you have the word of eternal life. To whom would we go? And we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then 1 John says this, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. God did not intend for us to be miserable. He intended for us to have joy. We're supposed to enjoy this life. And it is short compared to eternity, isn't it? Just a flicker. Just a vapor, like the mist of the morning. It's soon gone and someone's taking our place. When I went in the pastorate, everybody in the church was older than I was. And here I was trying to tell him how to live. Now I'm older than everybody else, just about. There's not many older than I am. Some of you, but not many. It's turned around quite a bit. But Jesus intends for our lives to be full of joy. In 1 John 6, he says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, I think about that old hymn that we used to sing. I am satisfied with Jesus. He has meant so much to me. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is my master satisfied with me? And that's the challenge that I want to bring you this morning. I believe that's the challenge God's Word delivers to our hearts this very day. God may have spoken to you about something else entirely. God has a way of doing that. But whatever He's spoken to you about, I want to ask you this. I know you're satisfied with Jesus. How could you not be? But the question comes to us as we think of the cost of our salvation. Is Jesus satisfied with me? The invitation this morning is to turn your life over to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there'll never be a better time than today. There might be other times, but today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow in any way. We've just heard about things that we never expected. And those people involved thought they would have many, many more days, would be able to see their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren grow up. But life gets cut short. And I'm not here to burden you with something like that. I'm here to remind you that we only have today. And that's the truth. It may be that God's spoken to you about something that I haven't even touched on. It's amazing how God speaks to our hearts about things that He's not speaking to anybody else about. And if there's something in your heart that you want to bring to God today, I believe this altar was created for people to kneel and pray. And I want to open the altar this morning and invite you to come pray. I'll come down and stand, and if you'd like to speak to me, I'd be glad to do that. But whatever the need in your heart is, I believe that Jesus is the answer. I really do. In one way or another, He is the answer, and He can meet your need. What number are we going to sing, brother, for the invitation?
I surrender all.
I surrender all, and it'll be on the screen. I invite you to make that your prayer. Lord, I surrender all. As we stand and sing, would you...